On this next fun-filled, action-packed episode of So Bad It's, we're talking Little Green Men. Nope, not the type that come out of a flying saucer, sing Shazbot, and use their long, glowing finger to probe you. If that's what you're here for, you might want to leave now, because we're talking Army Men on the next episode of So Bad It's... Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of So Bad It's, the podcast, where John and I, and I'm Pete, we talk a lot of pop culture stuff. We talk about things from our childhood or growing up and see if they stand the test of time. Are they so bad they're good memories? Are they so bad they're terrible? That's kind of what we try to explore on this show. And this week, this month, this episode, John and I are going to be discussing Army Men, specifically the little green Army Men that we, and I'm guessing a lot of you, may have played with growing up. So, John, any initial thoughts on the phenomenon that is Army Men?
That was a really nice welcome.
Well, I did.
That's pretty much it.
Did some time as a hotel concierge between the years of 1976. Yeah. Uh-huh. And 1976. So.
Yes, you did. I remember that very well.
Well, Smithtown Motor Lodge.
One thing that I need to say right off the bat, I think people are starting to get a little bit of a bio of me here, some similarities week to week. But I really wasn't allowed to play with too many violent type toys. I mean, the most provocative toy I had was the double barrel. Snap cap gun from Disney World Frontierland.
Oh yeah, I love that gun. I had that too.
Yeah. So yeah. Well,
in fact, I stole your gun.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Replaced it with mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you never knew the difference.
No. But I mean that should tell you. Like, I had a couple of toys that shot missiles and things of that nature back when that was okay. But I just did not have a whole lot of, toys that dealt with war and battles and things of that nature. I think I had just a couple of Star Wars figures, no case, because I didn't have enough, to warrant a case there. And I probably had like some straggler Army Men. Did you have a lot of them, Pete?
I had a bunch, but I'm curious, like your parents, like you distinctly remember your parents kind of shying away from letting you have that stuff growing up? Was it like a spoken thing, or is it something you felt like, I can't even bother asking for these type of toys because my parents are gonna throw a fit?
It was a combination. I think one aspect was that I had to ask for things specifically by name. They wouldn't necessarily come up with, hey, this would be a good toy for our son. So I had to specifically say, hey, I would like this toy, it's at this place, and then, maybe wait for two or three birthday build up to get the funds going.
Mm-hmm.
For the toy. But the other part of it was, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I was in awe, like when I would go to my friends' houses and they would have like 200 Army Men. I was almost, I think I was overwhelmed in a way, because I didn't know where to start. You know what I mean? I was like, do you buy all this at together? So I don't remember seeing them really in the store where I could be like, can you buy this for me? I didn't know if it was a pack of 10 or a pack of 200. I was just confused.
Yeah, they came in like small packages, but I'm trying to remember how my Army Men collection built up. I want to say they might have been hand-me-downs at some point, but I know where a lot of them came from. And I may get into this a little bit later, just talking about some of the games that my brother and I played in the basement, around the Army Men, which at the time, it was just like, it was crazy that we even thought of doing these things. But there was this, it was a playset, and it was made by Marx, maybe by Groucho, Harpo.
Groucho.
I'm not sure. Zeppo might have been involved. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the guy that made the lighter.
Yes.
Yeah, it was famous for making lighters. Yep.
It was called Marx Toys, and it was a Navarone playset. And this was like my favorite toy playset other than your Star Wars action playsets that I think I ever owned growing up. It was like this giant mountain fortress, and there were like two giant yellow guns on different levels. There were like rope ladders. There were little outcroppings on it that you could set the army men on. And it was basically your typical World War II battle. And like, you know, you had your green American soldiers that were storming this fortress. And then the Germans were the ones that were supposed to be holding it. You know, there was like a little elevator in the back. And
what?
Yeah, it was.
See,
it was.
Man, did I did not live. Okay.
Yeah, you haven't lived until you've played the Marx Navarone playset.
You did not just say there was an elevator.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sitting here thinking of the little plastic guys standing on their little platforms. And you just threw an elevator in
there.
Well,
it wasn't motorized. You had to – it was like a string. You had to like pull a string and it would raise up through the – I think it was like five levels of this mountain fortress.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you know what I'm thinking? I want that now is what I'm thinking.
I would love to track it down. I think I'm looking – there's a website and we'll post this on the webpage when the episode goes up. So if your listeners – out there are at all curious as to what I'm talking about, you can see it. It was in the 1976 JCPenney Christmas catalog for $14.97, which I think was probably a little more expensive back then. But still, I mean, this thing was hours and hours of fun for me. I absolutely loved it. So that's where I got most of my army men from. I know I picked some up along the way too, but you know, there were different types, you know, depending on the company that made them. Like the Navarone ones were like solid, like they had like a solid base. They were made of like solid plastic and they had some pretty cool poses. Whereas sometimes you get like the generic really cheapo knockoff ones and like the base would be really flimsy and you could only stand them up if you angled them on the carpet a certain way. And that pissed me off to no end because if nothing else, I just wanted to stand up my army men in position so I can set up my little diorama action. And if a guy who was like holding the bayonet up over his head kept falling over, well, you know, my 7-year-old self was not going to be none too pleased with that.
Yeah, and you don't want to. I mean, I'm going to talk probably a little bit about playing with friends and their sets because I'll bore the listener with my 2-on-1 army men that I had, and then you know with a special guest star Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I definitely participated in some epic battles with my friends' sets. The one thing that I specifically remember was the poses. And, you know, again, like you were saying, like the ones that I would consider the official, you know, army men set toy that you would come across at most of your friends' houses, they the ones that I remember only had a handful of poses. Is that correct? Is that what you remember?
Well, I think, yeah, I figured that we'd get into this, but I feel like there were like certain, yeah, generic poses that almost all the army men, didn't matter what package or who you got it from, there were a couple of really similar ones. And if they were made right, they look kind of cool. But they're like the one flamethrower guy. You had someone kind of like on his stomach with the rifle.
That was my what was your favorite? Do you have a favorite? I mean, we should go through, I guess, a couple more first. Yeah, you got the guy on the stomach with the rifle.
Yep.
You had this makes a lot of sense if you've ever been fortunate enough to play Battlefield with me and basically just annihilate me 50 times for my one kill. I liked the guy, and I remember that there was a guy on a big walkie-talkie.
Yes.
And of course, you know, that's like me in the Battlefield game. Like I have no use whatsoever other than to like communicate and shoot like, you know, rockets at people because I have no skill whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I was drawn early on to the guy with the walkie-talkie. He, you know, information he had. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. you had there's the guy I mentioned before who had like the it was like an M16 over his head with the bayonet, but he was always like in a weird pose. Like it was like a pose that you'd never really expect someone to actually try and bayonet someone. Like you'd think they'd have it like kind of at their waist and thrusting the gun, but he had it like it over his head, almost like he was doing a pull up. And I don't know how effective that guy was.
Is bayonet a noun and a verb? Did you just verb bayonet?
Sure. Yeah, you can go both ways with the bayonet.
Really? Can you throw it in as an adjective? Might be able to.
It's a little late for grammar tonight, so I'm not going to attempt that because I might get hurt. And I'm trying to maintain some level of health here.
What about like I kept at bay a net? Nah, that's not a verb. Anyway, all right.
Bayonet, well, anyway, Funicello, and yeah, later Frankie Avalon.
I don't know if this was early on that they had the bazooka.
The bazooka.
Okay, because that's obviously, you know, it was very exciting as a kid to be like, you know, this guy's, you know, got a couple guys that aren't even pointing their guns like toward the enemy. Well, they're like, and throw the bazooka out there.
There were three figures that basically had the same pose. You had the bazooka. Mm-hmm. It was like a guy on one knee with the bazooka on his shoulder, obviously. Then you had the rifleman, yes, basically the same pose, but with a rifle instead of the bazooka. And then yes, you had the mortar guy that was mm-hmm. also on one knee about to drop the mortar in. And I always remember he was like a tough one to keep upright for whatever reason. It was like very – the way that he was situated, he would fall over quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember. That's a good point. I forgot about the mortar guy. And you're right. I think they were very similar. They were very similar poses, if not exactly the same. And you had like a machine gunnist like standing up in a couple of the sets.
Yep.
A couple of guys who sort of kind of looked like they were charging-ish, like one guy with a rifle or something. And I'm looking up now because I don't remember this guy because, my God, you would have abused this guy. I don't know if I'm seeing a guy with binoculars or if he looks like he is literally about to just go AWOL and run the other direction. I want to give him credit that he has binoculars, but he might just be giving up and running away. Yep. I can't tell.
Yeah, there is a guy with binoculars. You had a minesweeper. And there was another guy that I can never tell. I used to always make believe that he had just thrown or was about to throw a grenade, although there was no grenade in his hand. He's probably like a captain, like basically like, come on, man, charge, and just like waving his arm. But I always thought it would be cooler if he had a grenade in his hand and was about to huck the grenade somewhere. But
Man,
you know, you can use your imagination. These people can do anything, people, like they're real.
Oh, all right. I just pulled up the picture of the guy with the mortar. That he was one of my favorites. I don't know why. Also, just the fact that it was like, he was getting ready to do his job. Oh, and he got the minesweeper. I don't remember that. I don't remember the minesweeper. Wow, it looks like he's holding a Hoover. That is nuts.
He's just cleaning up after the battle.
Yeah, and then there's a guy. I just pulled up another classic set. There's a guy on a phone. I don't remember that one. He's got his hand on his knee.
He's ordering the pizza for a post-battle snacks.
All right, this guy that has the binoculars way cooler than the guy that I just saw. I think this one's the classic. He's standing there basically like spread-legged. He's got the binoculars in his left hand, and he's got a handgun in his right pointing. Mm. And he's looking right at you, which is pretty intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that I was looking at was holding the binoculars up to his eyes and was literally just running away. And then now I'm seeing a guy with like a flamethrower almost.
Yeah.
He's got the pack.
Yep.
All right. Yep. I think I just pulled up the imagery of some of the.
I think those are your classics. Those are your classic army men poses.
Yes.
And I'm kind of fascinated now as to, you know, who started this and how you picked those poses. And, you know, I mean, this was I was doing a little bit of research beforehand because I don't want to come across as like a complete idiot, you know, maybe mm-hmm. 85% to 90% idiot. But, mm-hmm. you know, the other 10%, just to kind of lead you to believe, like, he's kind of smart. Maybe he knows what he's talking about.
We are talking about plastic toys. I mean, you know, it's only going so far.
And So, I think these things kind of came into fashion, not surprisingly, around World War II. And I'm sure they've kind of been on the decline ever since. And I'm wondering if kids these days really play with army men, because it's kind of, it certainly does not have the allure or the, the public, I'm not thinking of the right word, but it's not really in fashion to be right. Promoting kids playing, war, even if it's with a 3-inch or 2-inch tall plastic green figure.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine that like military families and stuff like that, it would be a little bit more commonplace just in general, whether it be, years ago or even today. And I think that's cool. But yeah, we've gotten so away from A, imaginative play, and B, violent type play, that, yeah, I would say it's not commonplace. I was going to say, recently I was in a store and they had a real terrible knockoff version of the Cowboys and Indians, which I'm just remembering now. That's obviously not politically correct anymore, but I'm just remembering that set as well. I don't want to get into that too much, but there's an artist on this team. Like, what do you do? You're carving a mold for these little plastic guys. Like, how do you do that? That is like crazy skill.
We'll have to find some more information and we can post that up and maybe even link to that on our Twitter page at SoBadCast on Twitter if you care to follow us.
On the twits.
On the tweet. To the beat. And so, yeah, I find it kind of interesting how this was, it was really almost a rite of passage growing up for people of our generation. Boys specifically. I don't think I've ever come across a female that had army men growing up. I'm sure there were a few, but this tended to really be a male dominated toy. But, I had hours of fun playing with it. And you alluded to it earlier with your Ben Kenobi reference. But, sometimes you're playing army men and maybe you've got the Americans versus the Germans or whatever. You've got the gray versus the green after a while that just gets kind of old. So you've got to introduce some of your other plastic toys, and maybe it's Star Wars figures, or I had a pretty healthy supply of plastic dinosaurs. So that always made for like a big, like the army got dropped into, a vortex in time and ended up, back in the prehistoric age, and they had to fight their way out by mowing through all the dinosaurs that I owned. So,
One thing, and we'll get to that too. One thing that's really interesting about the Army Men toys. I shouldn't say that. We did play with them inside, but I do remember playing with them with like natural dirt and things of that nature, like outside. It was interesting. You didn't have that many toys that you could put in like nature and have it feel realistic. But even though we did play, quite a bit with them indoors as well. Did you play with them out like in the dirt, or did you only play with them indoors?
Yeah, probably mostly indoors, not that I'm remembering it, but I definitely took them outside because especially if I had them battling the dinosaurs, it almost to me seemed like the perfect landscape because I'd be in the backyard and the grass was like perfectly high to be, kind of like small little shrubs and trees. And, scaled it and it really felt to me like they were on like another world or something like that. My imagination started going crazy. So I took them outside whenever I could. And the great thing about things like the Army Men is that they're so disposable, but also so easy to replace for the most part. I mean, I had my favorites and I can't remember which one it was, but I know there were a couple. And I think they were in that Navarone playset that you couldn't really find anywhere else. So I was always extra careful about those because the last thing I wanted to do was lose those guys. I knew some of the other ones I could replace pretty easily, but some of those specific to that playset, I was like really very, very careful if I took them outside anywhere.
Did you get into any like wacky customization where you're like bending the rifle so he's like able to shoot around the corner or nothing like that?
No, but I remember being really annoyed because I was so into, and again, we're talking these tiny plastic pre-molded figures that have no bendable joints. They're not even
in position.
They're not even as rudimentary as the early Star Wars figures that didn't bend at the elbow or the knee. Like they are what they are. But I can remember specifically if, you know, the rifle or the bazooka or the minesweeper piece that was like the thinner piece of plastic got bent in any way, it would really upset me because it took away somehow the realism of this fake little green plastic toy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's a thing. It's like, it was as if friends like would freak out on you if you did something that wasn't to scale. Like you're outside and you got like, you know, you got the army man, so you have to have like a perfect size pebble or a rock to make it look like it's to scale. And if like, you always had that friend that if it wasn't perfectly that way, it just ruined the experience and they would get frustrated with you pretty quick.
Yes. And I think one of the most famous phrases from back then, and again, you had to be around, had to do with the Star Wars figures, because again, like when you got them out of the box, their joints were nice and tight. So if you put their arm up, you could pose them, but after a while it would loosen up and they couldn't, you know, like Han Solo's arm wouldn't stay up. And so if someone came over and was being a little too overzealous with your action figures, you'd like yell at them like, "You're going to make it loose." And I just remember that being like yelled and uttered by not just myself, but if I was over a friend's house, it I don't know how many times, but countless times. But it's just one of those things that you don't you don't ever really forget, because it's one of those stupid things from growing up that made such a big deal at that age.
But the thing is, as dorky as that is, you know, we all had those little like pet peeves and different things that like when somebody came over to, you know, played with your toys and was touching your stuff and all that, they were out of the box. We were playing with them.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like at the end of the day, at least it wasn't, you know, in like some case, you know, on display with a light on it or something. I mean, we were still, you know, those toys were still in danger.
Sure.
You know, out there fighting the good fight.
And we were too young to really even appreciate, or I don't think we really understood holding value of something like that. I know I sure didn't. You know, I got those things to play with them, and I, you know, I have no regrets over the abuse that I heaped upon my army men, my Star Wars figures. Would I like to have some of those now? Sure. Yeah, because they're probably worth a decent amount of money. But I got so many hours of enjoyment playing with them. This may be for another, I'll go into more detail on another episode, but I spent an entire summer with my Star Wars action figures. I had gotten a BB gun. Again, another thing, I don't know, my parents were just like, yeah, sure. I spent an entire summer in my backyard. Basically, I with the BB gun was an invading force, and all the Star Wars figures had to band together against me. And I had them across the yard in, you know, in their vehicles. I had like all this bunch of styrofoam stuff that they were like hanging out in. And I basically with my scope would pick them off. And then at the end of the day, I'd bring them inside. And if I had shot Lando's arm off, I would be in my dad's workshop gluing them back together so that they go out and fight another day. And literally I did this for an entire summer, probably not every single day, but I can't tell you the hours of enjoyment that I had shooting my Star Wars figures, but then also going back in and repairing them and putting them back together, until at which point there was like no hope for them and they were then deemed officially dead. And it was a great time. I had so much fun doing it. It's really incredible.
Any sadness thinking back at you know, some of the battles and what you put your army men through? I hate to get all political, but, you know, we do, this is mostly a political show, you know, about like, you know, the vets, I don't know, you threw them into some bin somewhere, right? You know, limbs missing, guns bent, your mom tosses them somewhere, they're out in a, you know, in a heap somewhere in some like garbage dump. And it's kind of like, you know, what have you done for those vets? You know what I mean? Like any regrets there of like not looking into some long-term care or some, you know, different services?
I just wrote a check for $1 million that'll be going to the Army Men Foundation, now that you brought that up. So I think I've just taken care of it.
Because you're really good. You and Trump are really good with the vets, right?
So good.
Is Trump there with you today? A lot of people don't realize that Donald Trump likes to hang with Pete, and sometimes Bernie Sanders comes over to my place during the podcast. It's just a thing that they like.
Look, Pete, I'm taking the microphone from you, okay?
Oh.
Okay?
Oh, no.
I am so good with the army men, okay? I had army men in China, made in China. I'm going to be bringing army men back to the United States of America. We're going to make army men in America great again, okay, folks? We're going to be doing so much winning with army men. The German army men are going to be shaking their heads and be like, Trump, stop. Stop. It's too much.
So, yeah, anyway, the army men, you thinking about them laying somewhere. Excuse me.
Bazooka guy, okay? We're going to take such good care of bazooka guy. Let me tell you, mortar guy, he's going to feel great. Minesweeper? Nobody thinks of the minesweeper. I'm thinking of the minesweeper. He's going to be great.
The other night, I was out.
I was thinking.
Dancing with Michelle.
Bernie, I got to tell you, people are telling me all the time, Donald, what's with the bayonet? And I keep saying, bayonet is going to win. I think about bayonetting my daughter Ivanka all the time, okay?
No, that's disgusting. Let's not get into that personal stuff.
People are tired of PC, Bernie, okay? I'm just telling it like it is. I'm going to bayonet Ivanka in China, in India, all over the world. We're going to win. I'm going to bayonet, and I'm going to make my daughter pregnant.
Yours is like, I was there sometime with like Rambo. And I was on one knee with a gun, and I had a bazooka, and like a grenade, and the pin from the grenade.
Sly, loved you in Cobra. Great movie. Underrated. Maybe your best. Might be your best movie.
Yo, do you have any chance I could be on the ticket with you? It was like VP, you. We call it like Trumpalo and Stallone for P and VP.
But I just want everyone to know out there, I've got two Corys. And I've just hired Corey Feldman as my new campaign manager. And we are going to win. We're going to dream a little dream and make America great again. Folks, that's what's going to happen.
And everybody will go to college.
And everyone will have a license to drive, okay? We're all going to have a license to drive.
All right, so where you're playing with the... All right, you're shooting. You're full-on shooting at your Star Wars figures all summer.
Yeah.
I was that kid who, like, I didn't have a lot of action figures. I had some other really good toys. A lot of times I would hold out for, like, the big electronic games. That was my thing always. My parents were like, what do you want this year? I'd be like, an electronic game? But
Do you pose that as a statement or a question?
No, it was a statement. But no, and then a question. But then I would bring over... I always had like just a couple of action figures. So like I was saying before, like the Kenobi and stuff like that, like randomly, because I had a really, really vivid imagination. So we'd be doing some army men and I'd randomly pull out. I was that kid that would like pull out Obi-Wan Kenobi and then just like hold him there in my hand. And then like my two friends, you would wait to see, you know, their reaction to know if it was a go or if this was going to be just straight up war. With no, you know, supernatural kind of stuff, sci-fi stuff. So I would wait for them to look at me, and they'd turn over and look. And sometimes you'd get the like, eh, you know, and then you'd quickly just like take him and put him in your back pocket, or you might get the kind of half nod, turn to the tilt, you know, head tilted to the side, which meant Obi could fight in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's then, and only then, would I reach over for the telescoping lightsaber. And just, you know, jack that thing out, and it was go time.
Yep.
I know what you're going to say. I know it.
Yeah.
You're going to say that it's not – I don't know if kids back then had a better imagination
yes.
than kids today.
Right.
And my take my quick take on it. I don't mean to cut you off. My quick take is that it's not fair to say, oh, the kids had a better imagination back then. We were forced to. You know, we had toys that made some noise, maybe shot some things, but that was it. It didn't move on its own for the most part. It didn't interact on its own for the most part. We had a lot of different sci-fi flying ships, and your hand was on the toy, and you were making the sound. You were making the action out of it. So we were forced to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids who were better at it, you know, shined, if you will.
Right.
Which I actually do have a question that does bring me to a question for you. Every kid had their favorite impersonation of different weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were fortunate enough to have the army men or some of these big sets, you'd really have to hone your game and like expand a little bit on some of the different sounds you'd be able to make.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more thing that I know you and I took pretty seriously. Whether it was Star Wars, it was army men, you know, you don't go out there and just like, you know, here comes a grenade. Like, you know, your friends would be like, is your mom coming to pick you up soon? Like, you can't, you need to be able to produce the sound in the moment,
mm-hmm.
to keep the realism going. So did you have a favorite, like, go-to sound that you used across the different toys?
I would try to adapt to the toys that I was playing with. But sure, yeah, I mean, you had your rifle sound, your machine gun sound. You know, it wasn't like one of those you'd be running like going like, pachoo, pachoo, like, you know.
I'm
going to try and do this right now. It's probably not going to come out too well on the microphone, but, you know, we'll give it a go.
Give me your, what are you giving me, though?
So here comes the machine gun that, you know, because that was always the weapon of choice because it was just, you know, so rapid fire.
All right, give me your machine gun and then I'll give you mine. And I'm getting it in my head so yours doesn't, poison mine.
All right. It's been
what choice of
it's
words?
It's been a long time since I've done this sound. I'm going to say at least 5 to 7 days. So bear with me.
Okay. Yeah.
As I try and do a little recall here.
Whatever you got.
Muscle memory in the mouth and all that, you know? So, yes, you got your guys lined up and everyone's firing away, and along comes your machine gunner. Hit it.
Wait, you're going?
Oh, yeah.
All right, ready? And you do your machine gunner.
Fire.
3, 2, 1.
My weapon jammed. Hold on. I need another cartridge. Right. Okay. And here it is.
Wow, that's you did that with like your tongue in the front of your mouth. That's crazy good.
Everyone home probably just ducked.
I did.
It was like a bullet flying over their head.
I did my machine gun, which I had a few less sounds. Like I was no Michael Winslow, Police Academy, but I did this like kind of guttural noise in the back of my throat for the machine gun. So mine was kind of like, you know, the guy's crawling up over the hill and see his helmet there and just.
Oh, yeah.
So I had the, you know, a little bit more of the rifle action machine gun, which probably was the sound of every gun.
Little drum machine sound going there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. did you have a – give me a – every kid had a very unique hand grenade or, like, bomb drop. Like, did you have – something like that with like a whistle or something?
I don't think I did the whistle.
You didn't do the whistle?
No.
What'd you do for incoming? Did you just yell out?
I don't remember. What I do remember was always being fascinated if kid from the neighborhood, Jimmy Neilon, who on top of making a really weird gun sound, when he had to go to the bathroom when he would be visiting us, he would not just go into the house and go to the bathroom. He would like sit on the curb and start rocking back and forth uncontrollably. And we'd be like, Jimmy, do you have to go to the bathroom? And then he would start shaking his head wildly from side to side, like no, but he'd still be rocking back and forth. And this would go on for 5 or 10 minutes. We're like, Jimmy, do you have to go to the bathroom? And then he'd finally would nod, get up and run into the house and go to the bathroom.
And out of his shorts, you know what would happen? Would fall to the ground. pellets.
I think it was a number one, but still, like, the kid's bladder probably exploded at some point.
It made
a grenade sound. but he had the weirdest machine gun sound. And it was always like we'd call him over when we would be playing Army Men just so he would do it because it did not sound anything like a machine gun. And I'm going to try and replicate it for everyone here at home. And I'm not going to do it justice, but it went a little something like this. All right, take two.
Wait, how cheap is this podcast that we couldn't get Jimmy Nylons on here to talk about, to actually act out his... I mean, is this kid so famous now because of his bathroom repertoire? I mean, come on.
No, Jimmy Nylons is on the run.
Yeah. He's on a tear. Hello.
Sheer comedy, folks. Sheer.
Ooh, he's legging it out.
All right, so Jimmy Nylons' machine gun sounded a little something like this. I don't know. To this day, my brother and I don't know what the hell he was doing.
I think you've confused the sound of Jimmy Nylons trying to swim in the toilet bowl versus his machine gun sound. What is? Was it underwater? Did he preface it like this is what happens when the guy comes up from what?
He may have had a hearing impairment for all we know. Like I really don't know.
Don't bring it there. I mean,
no, he didn't. But I'm saying, like, that's the only rational explanation for something that sounds absolutely nothing like a machine gun.
Right. Like, he was like taken to the audiologist, and they were like, his hearing seems okay, and his mom was like, wait till you hear his machine gun.
And it was like now that I'm thinking, it was an alternation between that, and it did a little like no 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 no.
Oh no!
It just sounds almost more like a sci-fi sound, like a laser gun or something, but maybe.
I love give me one of your laser guns. If you were born when Pete and I were, or lived through the 80s, and you didn't have some kind of really cool sci-fi gun, laser gun sound going, I mean, you stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even go and play with anybody.
Right. You'd be shunned.
Yes, absolutely. Give me a laser gun sound. Anything.
All right.
Oh man, see, that's good stuff. I mean, that's like multi.
That sounds like a lightsaber, but you know, it's you get me on the spot here. I'm just winging it.
Mine was. Are you ready? I got a. Mine was dip, 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 dip. No, I'm sorry, that was something dip. No, mine was more like. And I kind of messed it up. I spit on myself a little bit right there, but mine was, you know, really trying for the. For the spit pew pew.
Yeah, I only do these sound effects with a giant bib around my neck. I've learned my lesson.
I will say this: I had a really good UFO or some kind of ship going overhead. I do it the same way still today, and I'm going to present that to you now, without further interruption. I am for hire.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I have to take a couple breaths now and stretch a little bit. Kind of hurt my shoulder, I think.
I do have my one, you know, kind of sci-fi sound that I carried over into adulthood whenever I did, like, you know, my dashboard Pete business when I just somehow am able to find my way.
Let me explain that, because you can't even explain it. Dashboard Pete, I have the worst sense of direction ever. And Pete has the best sense of direction, but he's not the guy that you that like memorizes the street signs. Like he's not going to tell you like, oh, at the tree and this and that. He will just go someplace once, and then the next time he goes back, it could be like 7 years later, and he will find exactly where he was before, or he knows how to get from A to B. He may even know how to get from A to C, and he was never even at C the first time. So anyway, Dashboard Pete was the big joke of, you know, when like the Garmin technology and stuff like that was coming out. Like, I don't need that. I got the Dashboard Pete. But yeah, I even still make that sound anytime I find something where, you know, I'm surprised I was able to like locate, you know, a place or something driving to. So what was your sound?
So it's a little bit Rain Man-esque, my abilities. But, you know, whenever that would happen, we'd just do a little like...
Yeah, that was like getting right in the zone. It's the lock and look. And I experienced it, you know, every once in a while you say to yourself, maybe he's not that good. And then you do it again, like in another city. Well, we went to London years ago and he freaking pulled. He went back to London with some friends, was like pulling it off again in another country, in a giant city. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's not very fair. But yeah, the soundtrack was very important. You know, how you were going to present your battles. I just recently watched one of my favorite movies, which is Cloak and Dagger from the 80s. And the main character is doing a real cool battle after he gets in trouble for causing a stir and a scene down at the hotel when he's back in the house. And his dad's an Air Force pilot. But when he's back in the house, he and his dad's coming up to, you know, give him the talk. He's like already like in the middle of an epic army man battle, slash he like spies too. But he had some really good sounds going in there, which I was probably trying to emulate at certain points in my life, but just was not that good at it. Did you bring in any like other props other than, you know, the army men? You talked about shooting at the Star Wars figures. Did you like just show up with your own battle weapons?
Well, I think, you know, it's you use whatever is at your disposal. Anything could be used for a prop. This will round me back to talking about my Navarone playset. This was a game that my brother and I invented in the basement with this thing, which I thought was pretty cool. We had a lot of fun with it. So I'm just going to relay this story very quickly. And it talks about bringing in props. So, you know, again, like you set up your figures and you kind of plod them along and you have your battles and you do that for a while and it just gets boring, you know, like anything else. You've done it enough times. You try to think of different ways to make the playset exciting again. So you would
blow up a condom and then use that as like a parachute.
Exactly.
For the guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody did that.
Right.
What's your point?
Rite of passage. My brother and I came up with this game where we took rubber bands, and what we did was we divided our basement floor into halves, and, you know, you'd take turns. So someone got the Navarone playset on the first go, and then you'd switch, and you could use anything. We used like the couch. There'd be like a nook in the couch, and we would set up our opposing forces.
Oh man!
Anywhere you wanted within the, you know, within the boundaries. And then we took turns. You'd get like, I don't remember, it was like 5 or 10 rubber band shots. And you couldn't go over a certain line, and you'd have to pick them off. And if you hit the guy, you know, he'd have to fall over to be dead. So you could hit you could hit them, and if he stayed upright, he was still alive. That didn't count.
And you know you screamed when that happened.
Right.
You know, like if you hit somebody and they didn't go down.
Yes. Because you're like, oh, this is such a great shot, and he somehow still stayed up.
Yeah.
And so we did this, and you'd take turns. You'd get your 10 shots, then my brother would get his 10 shots and I would get my 10 shots, and you'd go until you killed all of your opponent's army men. And this was like immense fun for both of us. We had, you know, a couple of knockdown drag out fights over a few things, because you could, you know, there were definitely some spots on there that you would like put your guy that were like really, really difficult to pick him off. You'd have to be a really good shot. And so we would modify the game, and that you were allowed one strafing run around where you could cross over the border and you could come in and get like a really close shot if you wanted to. So, you know, we were making up rules. The difficult one always at the end was
prone. Do you have the prone guys
the prone guy,
involved?
Yeah. And you had
do you have to flip them.
You had to flip them. Not easy to do.
Wow.
So, you know, there was levels of difficulty. There were, you know, we had amended rules, and, you know, friends would come over. We'd play this, you know, with friends, and it was a huge hit. It was great. I loved it. But again, just another example of you kind of take what you've got in the toy, and then after a while, when that kind of runs its course and you've done all you can do, you think of some other rules and something else to kind of make it fun again. And we were, my brother and I were usually really good at doing those things. And
okay, I never played it that way. And all I want to do is get a set right now. I got like the childhood tingles going right now where I'm like, all I want to do is get one of those sets. My daughter would be all over that. And we shoot back and forth. That is my next week right there. Just without a doubt. That is an awesome idea. I love it. I love it. And, you know, one thing about the Army Men figures versus Star Wars or anything else really out there, they had the best minimal base. So they had just enough to stand up on different, you know, hard floors, carpeting, sofas, but not enough to really keep them too sturdy.
Yes.
Versus a lot of other toys, they didn't have a way to stand. You had to prop them up against something. Like, there was just something real special about the way that they created them in that way.
And you know, hours and hours of fun.
Yeah, just freaking unbelievable. I mean, if you know, if you're our age, you know exactly what we're talking about. If you're a little bit younger and you want to go, you know, look this stuff up on Google, or we'll post a couple pictures and a couple links, you know, on our Twitter feed. I highly recommend that, you know, you get your hand on some of these and you play with them and just get into that imagination mode. You know, I feel like, again, today's kids, if they had to play with stuff like that for certain points of time, they would really embrace it. I think it's very refreshing, but you don't really get involved in that whole thing. Like, I was playing Lego Dimensions before with my daughter, and I mean, like Marty McFly flying around on his hoverboard, and she turns to me and she's like, this is better, right? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, this is better. And I said to her, I'm like, you think it's better than the movie? She's like, yeah. And I that like kind of depressed me, because I was like, without the movie and the imagination, but for her, like, she's controlling the characters and the movie and living through it. So it's like, we're talking about inanimate plastic army men. Mm-hmm. And I had more fun with stuff like that. You know, we'll get into another day where I had like the poor man's version of a toy, GoBots instead of Transformers, but got into a lot of play scenarios with my friend Keith with those babies. I blame that on my parents a little bit, but I think the other part is I wasn't smart enough to be able to transform the Transformers. So mine was kind of like this half breed.
Yeah, there'd be like some piece hanging out for the elbow.
Yes. Yeah. He is like a robot half copter. You know, I was like, you know, it's sad, but that was not my cup of tea, being able to transform toys. So, but I long for those days. Of just setting up the plastic guys outside, you know, forget about it. If you were playing outside and it started to rain, I don't even know, like your head would explode, but, or the wind was blowing some of them over and blowing some dust through. But I love those days, man. And I'm going to say Army Men so bad, it's amazing, because there's something special about the fact that there's so few poses. And yet that was it seemed to be the perfect amount to act out whatever kind of war scenario you wanted to act out.
And yeah, and so cheap and relatively inexpensive, but yet still captured imaginations of countless kids growing up for, you know, for years and years. So, yeah, a pretty special thing. And, you know, of course, John and I have grown up and neither of us have really ever wanted to act out on murdering or killing anyone. So, no. You know, all the... like, you're going to make your kids play war and with army figures. I understand the argument, but certainly for the time we grew up in, there was nothing permanently damaging coming from that. It was just a way to enjoy, you know, your afternoon.
Do you remember when maybe we want to cut that out, because you remember when we were younger and I went into the mall with that 1-inch gun and held up the Barracini candy?
Oh, well, yeah, but.
So, I mean, you know. I don't know. I mean, maybe there is something to be said.
But you got pulled in a nice haul of Jolly Ranchers, though. So, I mean,
this is true. Yeah, this is true.
From that standpoint, it's all worth it.
Yeah, it's a win-win.
And of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, or at least make mention of the fact, you know, Army Men kind of coming in pop culture down the road. You had those PlayStation games, that came out in the 90s, I think.
And then, I love that game.
You know,
I love that game.
And you had, Toy Story featured Army Men as well, as a little callback for the parents going to see that probably. So, you know,
and done so well in that movie. Mm-hmm. It was done so well and so true to their original form and everything.
Yes. Just, you know, a great little shot of nostalgia by people that obviously played with Army Men growing up themselves. So, you know, it's still out there. I'm sure that it's not big business these days, but, you know, for the time and for certainly a number of generations, they provided hours of entertainment and, you know, and I have nothing but fond memories of it. And, you know, now I want to go out and search and find that Neverland playset and make it my own again.
Next time you see your brother, Pete, you need to bring that set and a couple rubber bands and it's go time.
We can reenact the war all these years later. We just couldn't let it go.
Exactly. So anyway, well, thank you so much for joining us today for our Army Men podcast. We'll be back. You know, we took a little leave of absence there for a while. But we will be back with a fury of podcasts talking about all kinds of things that don't matter.
And we may even be bringing a guest along in a yes. very near episode that we will have more information about. And that guest is not Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, or Sylvester Stallone. But we'll keep you guessing for a little bit, but it should be exciting. And while we're at it, we should also say that we will be appearing on the Fan to Fan podcast coming out shortly, I believe in the next couple of days, or by the time you listen to this, it may be out already. And we definitely want to give a plug to our new good friend and like-minded Illinois
gent,
Bernie Gonzalez, who is the host of the Fan to Fan podcast. He is a fantastic guy. He does a tremendous job with his podcast, and we certainly encourage you all, if you haven't already, to check him out and give him a listen, because he's got a lot of industry people. He'll talk Marvel Comics, Marvel Cinematic Universe. He has comic book artists on, and just a really great listen and well worth your time.
And he is a sick artist himself. He's got some comic books out there. And I mean, his art is just absolutely phenomenal.
And we've already had a couple of conversations with him, and they've been fantastic. Just the type of person that you have just met, and yet you find yourself having conversations about random things for 3 hours, and you could still go, you know, much longer. So, again, please check him out and give him a listen, and we'll let you know when we appear on an upcoming episode.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all we got. So again, thank you for tuning in. This is the So Bad It's podcast, also to be found at So Badcast on Twitter.
And that's with my friend, Peter Charbonneau.
And my brother from someone else's mother, who I and cherish as my own, not really my own mother, but as like a second mother, another second mother.
No. When you do those, like, third those quick mother. Sayings. No. When you do the quick saying, it's just supposed to, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just supposed to be something quick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jonathan Zemsky, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Thank you.